The portion of God's word we hear this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. John, beginning chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. Each one of us at some time or another has had aspirations toward greatness. No, you don't think so? Maybe you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, well, maybe not aspirations toward greatness, maybe toward mediocrity. But right now, all I want to do is survive. It's almost the end of the semester. A few more weeks and we'll be done. Or perhaps you admit that there have been times when you have wanted to be considered great or at least pretty good at something. Maybe you want to be a great actor, a writer, or a great teacher, a great father, a great mother, on down the line. Now, regardless of our individual aspirations, we have to consider, what is greatness anyway? Most of the time we consider greatness as being recognized by others for being the best, or at least really good at something, especially if that consideration comes from our peers. It's not too often that we give ourselves a trophy or a ribbon for winning a contest or some notable achievement. Being a legend in our own mind really isn't going to give us much satisfaction, and it won't give us any notoriety either. But can we really boil true greatness down to a few spectacular moments on the playing field or one notable achievement? Well, in the eyes of the world, yes. But in the Lord's eyes, greatness is something different. On this day described in the text, Jesus was certainly being considered great by these people who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover. Things were looking up. Jesus had been preaching and healing for about 3 years now, and these pious pilgrims were finally recognizing him to be their Savior, their Messiah. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Now granted, Jesus had already been recognized by many as God's specially sent Savior, but he had had hard times also. Think of his relationship with the leadership of the Jews. They had rejected him. They despised him. They were trying to work out a plan to bring about his death. Even the people in Jesus' hometown had rejected him, because this local boy certainly couldn't be their promised Savior. He was just one of them. But here he was, coming into Jerusalem for what would be his final time, and the crowds went wild. They had their palm branches with them, meaning that they were giving Jesus honor. And according to Matthew's and Mark's Gospels, they were even laying their cloaks down in front of Jesus, again, giving him great honor. And why not give him honor? After all, he was the promised one. He was the king who was coming in triumphantly, the Messiah. Now, as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem that day, was he really all that great? Well, yes and no. And again, yes. You see, Jesus, because he is true God, is great. But by the end of that week, some of these admirers, again, were lining the streets, this time to howl and jeer as Jesus stumbled his way toward Golgotha. Now, instead of their great hope, the people were acclaiming Jesus to be their great disappointment. But Jesus' greatness remained intact. Each painful step that he took on the way to Calvary. Each lash that he had already received from his Roman captors, each wheezing breath that he strained to take under the weight of that cross, here was true greatness. You see, Jesus wasn't walking through this gauntlet of gawkers on that Good Friday simply because he had nothing better to do. Jesus walked to Golgotha because he wanted to. You see, as he had come into Jerusalem at the beginning of the week and he looked into those admiring eyes of all of those throngs of people, he at the same time saw lost souls in need of salvation. And even on this Good Friday, when Jesus was looking into those eyes, the anger and disappointment that was there, he also saw lost sheep who needed rescue. For Jesus, the very Son of God, great in his own right, greatness in this day was going to come in the form of sacrifice. But that didn't seem to be fair, that Jesus would be willing to sacrifice himself for these angry people, these people who hated him now, the same people who at the beginning of the week loved him and adored him, many of whom now are rejecting him. Those vicious people. Boy, if I had been there. Now, run with that thought for just a moment. What would you have done if you had been there that day? It's easy enough for us to sit here almost 2,000 years removed from these events and be all sanctimonious about how we would not have treated Jesus that way. But how easy is it for us now to act differently? The people then wanted Jesus to be their Savior, sure. But they wanted him to be their kind of Savior. They wanted him to come and restore Israel to its former greatness. They wanted him to get rid of the Roman oppressors. And here he was now being executed by those same hated Romans. What kind of Savior was that? Jesus doesn't always serve us in the way that we want to be served either. Yes, Lord, you know I love you, but could we work out a deal on this be holy thing? It's really cramping my style to always have to worry about what you want me to do. Jesus, I do appreciate everything you've done for me, but think about how much I do for you. Could I get maybe just a little bit of recognition for how faithful I am? Even my friends tell me that I'm a pretty good Christian. Thinking that way really just shows that you're a pretty good sinner. In fact, in God's eyes, a very great sinner. A sinner who deserves to die eternally. And that's why God sent an even greater Savior. You see, it wasn't the shouts of the crowd on that Palm Sunday that made Jesus great. Jesus didn't need the acclamation of those pious pilgrims for him to be great. Jesus is great because he took greatness and he turned it upside down. He showed that greatness is not in what you receive, but it's in what you give. Jesus is great because he gave his life for you. And now he gives you forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. Praise be to our great Savior. Amen.